finish off this retreat. It's a very good retreat, peaceful, transversal, really. So fast. And you see that there's not been one person gone crazy in this retreat. You know, back and tell your friends, you say, if you get possessed, if you go on a retreat, you get possessed. The only person you get possessed by is peace. You get bliss, freedom and wisdom. So getting possessed by those things, I think, is a very good idea. So if you go back home and say, did you get possessed by anything here? He said, I got possessed by peace. I got possessed by bliss. I got possessed by freedom. Those are wonderful things to get possessed by. So sometimes we have to go against those fears. And one of the best ways of going against those fears is to face them, to do it, and to see that, yeah, you can do it. It's a 9-day retreat. For some of you, it's been the first 9-day retreat you've ever done. So it's not that hard. So only thinking about it is hard. That's the old saying. Thinking about it is a difficult part. Doing it is very, very easy. And the trouble is we don't know how to stop thinking. But here on this retreat, and many of you have stopped thinking, at least for short ones. How peaceful that is. You find that when you can stop thinking, you energize the mind. If you're happy, peace comes. It also means that you can do things in the world. In a place of stillness, as I've been saying, that's where both wisdom and compassion come from. That's their source, their origin, the peaceful, still mind. And the more peace, the more stillness there is, the more that power sort of is generated within you. It is literally the power of the Dhamma. You know what that word Dhamma means? It's the Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi, wonderful expert on Pali. He's been translating many of the suttas into English. He once really explained the root meaning of that word. It literally does mean like the source, where things come from, the law. It's like he said, the phenomena, any phenomena which you're experiencing now, if you look towards the origin of that, the source of that, why that comes into being, that's called Dhamma. If you see where it's going to, what its result is, that's its consequence. It's another word in Buddhism we call it atta. This is like the Dhamma, it's the origin, the source of things, the why, where it all comes from. It all happens, you see the Dhamma when you go to the source of things. That is the source, Dhamma. And that's the origin. You can see how it happens. You can see the will of the Creator. You can see what is beyond the Creator, the silence, the emptiness, from which even the creating will comes from. And you can see all that all for yourself. And once you go deeper and more peaceful, you get the power of the Dhamma. And you can feel that power of the Dhamma, the energy. It's as if your energy of life, when you have greed, hatred and delusion, is literally corrupted. We always have this energy, we want to help, we want to do good things. And sometimes it's surprising when you upset people. Or why you sometimes, even you, create anger, hostility in others. Why you create problems. Sometimes I never meant that. But sometimes because the energy of our lives is bent by our defilements, by greed, hatred, and especially delusion, don't we know what's going on? So that energy from the Dhamma gets misplaced and causes problems and difficulties in ourselves and in the world. But when we come to the source of things and our wisdom is straightened out, our compassion is empowered. From that source we get the energy, the power of Dhamma. You can feel that energy and that power. It's that ability to really do things properly for a change. Just to see things deeply and to act effectively, all coming from that power. If you've been into very deep meditations, you do develop that power. And after deep meditation, sometimes you think you can do anything. Sometimes you think you can fly through the air, or you can see so deeply into the nature of things, or whatever you want to do, you think you can do that because you've got the inner power coming from this deep stillness of the source. Having understood that, each one of you have gone some way towards that depth, to that inner stillness. The closer you've got, the more power you feel. But of course, then you say, what do we do with that power, the power of the Dhamma? And of course you find that out when you leave here. When you leave here, that even if you don't think you're going to be compassionate, kind, even if you don't think you're going to share the benefits of your being, you will do so automatically. It's inherent that we are, in some way, to some extent, connected with all other beings who share this planet. Even just the way that you drive home, the way you speak to each other, the way you look at other beings who you pass on the street, those glances, those words, do affect the people you come across. Your being affects those who you pass on the journey. And I've seen that many, many times, just how effective a peaceful, quiet person can be. Even if they don't say or do anything, just the peace, just the calm, is a wonderful gift you can give to the world. Many, many occasions, like for example when somebody has lost a son or a daughter, a grief-stricken, just a quiet person going into their house, someone who isn't buying into the energy of despair, can do so much to give the grieving parents, family, just another perspective, literally like being a rock in a raging sea. They've got a place where they can hang on to. They've got a place where they can climb out of their grief into another existence, an existence of accepting the rise and fall of the people we love. We can actually do that. Just by being peaceful, you can do that. Even just some weeks ago, when I was going to the travel agent to book some tickets somewhere or other, one of the marks I was with just sat quietly in the chair, because it took a while to do all that business. They decided to meditate. I remember the travel agent looking at that mic and looking at me and saying, "Oh, I wish I could do that. It's so nice having a peaceful person in the office." I think you can appreciate that. That sometimes in the business of our day, to see a person who's at peace, who's still, who's not rushing around like everybody else, it cools our own heart. And even a person, they're not Buddhist in that travel agency, just seeing that, there was their smile. So in the same way, that if we can be peaceful, if we can be calm, that just by that much, we give a great gift to the world in which we live. You have become peaceful, you have become calm. Despite your judgment of yourself, you slow down a lot. And you'll see that when you leave here. Just going out that door, you think, "Wow, it's crazy, this, I'm going back in here again." And you go to your hotel or your home, Yeah, the first time I saw television after 7 or 8 years in Thailand, I was with another monk, we were visiting somebody's house before going, you know, for a cup of tea before we were going to go and give a talk. And just through the open door of the room where we were having a cup of tea, I saw their kids watching the television. I just peered through. And it was literally painful. Just to see those very strong images, and they were moving so fast. To me it was faster than I could comprehend. Because my mind had slowed down over all those years, not seeing a TV. And I thought, "Oh, that hurts." And of course, that's the most, maybe one of the most popular forms of entertainment. But you do slow down. When you do slow down, the ordinary world seems to be so harsh, and so jagged, and so coarse, so prickly. Whereas this path is just so smooth. It's so easy. You see that. And your gift to that world is just being a calm, cool person. But just because of your calmness and coolness, you could slow others down. Remember a story of the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who spent some of his time in political protests for very good causes. In his book, one of his books, he said once he was in a protest march somewhere, I think it was in the US, and being a reasonably famous person, he was up front there. And as they were protesting, they got the feeling that the other people in the back were getting more and more aggressive. Their anger levels were rising, and they feared the protest, which was supposed to be non-violent, would get out of control. People were shouting abuse, and you could see the fever pitch was rising. It looked like it might be violent. And he said that what he did, he told all the others in the front line to slow down, to walk very slowly. And of course they didn't know why, but they respected this monk, so they did. They walked really slowly. So everyone going behind also had to walk really slowly. He said it worked, it calmed everybody down. So just because when you're angry, when you get violent, you want to move around quickly, you want to throw your arms around, you've got to talk quickly. But they couldn't do that. They had to walk slowly. Because they walked slowly, they calmed down. So perhaps, if when you're driving home, you get all these angry people behind you. I don't think that would work. But at least you can have this coolness there. If somebody wants to come up in front of you, please come through. If someone wants to turn right or left in your way, please come through. You had a very beautiful way of living, instead of like rushing through and getting to the intersection before them. Because here, we give ourselves peace and time. And that's a gift you can give to others. When you go back home, you can give that peace and time. You can give the coolness of your heart as your gift to the people you live with. Sometimes they may have had a difficult time when you've been away. And you sit there and listen. And you're sensitive. With your sensitivity, you can feel their pain. You can really empathize. Because your mind is cool and soft. And now can do that. You'll find that your coolness, your kindness, inherent in your state of mind, will help so, so many people. Even the hardware store which we go in, you know, to get building materials for our monastery. The people there keep saying it's wonderful to see the monks in our shop. It cools everyone down. It makes people feel a little bit more happy. It's wonderful to have a cool person in your house. It softens people. So, the message I'm making here is that there is an inherent transference of merits. There's an inherent automatic compassion. A gift is given, whether you think you're doing this or not. You're giving the peace, the composure, the beauty of your mind after a 9-day retreat to all those people who you meet or even who you pass along the street. You may have experienced, as I have sometimes, an angry person. An angry person comes past and you can feel what they're like. You feel very, very uncomfortable. Even if an angry person comes into a room, even, I'm not sure if you notice this, even some of the cleaners who work here or the gardeners, when I saw them even in the distance, you can see their energies were very out of kilter with the energies of all the meditators here. They were rushing, they were jagged. And that was only just reasonably calm people in this world. If you go out there sometimes you can feel just the, what is it called, the prickliness of some people. And you can also see their softness. Monk many, many years ago, he came up with this very beautiful metaphor. He said that people are like that they have invisible spikes coming out of their body. And some people have got lots of spikes, they're very long, they're very sharp. You can say, even come in this room, they may be in the back, but you get pricked by them. You feel very, very uncomfortable in their presence. Most people have got average length spikes. You can get close, but if you get too close to them, you tend to get scratched. The few very kind people in this room, you've only got very, very small spikes. You can get really, really close. You can even abuse them and tell them off, but still you don't feel scratched. But if you get really close, then scratch, scratch. But there are some people in the world who have got no spikes at all. You get as close to them as you like, whatever you do, you feel there's no way in the world you'll ever get hurt by what they do or by what they say in their presence. These are the people without spikes. The first person I met without spikes, or one of those ones without spikes, the one who really impressed me, was this, the monk who actually lives by the monastery where the Naga fireballs are, Ajahn Thein. I remember going to see him, and he was a great monk. He's supposed to have been arahat with great psychic powers. And at first, not understanding what psychic powers are and why they're there and how they're used, you can imagine I was very afraid. I was only a young monk, and quite frankly, my mind wasn't ready to be read yet. So I was scared. But when I went into his presence, it was like the archetypal kind grandfather. A person who would never harm you. A person who would give you unconditional acceptance. You felt that immediately. It was a person with no spikes. It was so wonderful just to get into the presence of such a person. You can actually want hours to sit there for hours, for days, never leave. Because you realize he only had your best interest at heart. Would never, ever, in any which way, harm you at all. You literally felt so amazingly and uniquely safe. A person who will never criticize. A person with no spikes. For you, you've actually cut down your spikes quite a lot by the time you've been in here. In fact, many of the ends have got quite rusty, so they're quite blunt at the moment. You draw on them in. You're much easier to be around. Your partners, the people you live with, your family will see that when you get back home. Oh, you're so nice to live with. In some of my meditation groups, the people actually tell me that it's a common occurrence. They come up and say, oh, I never felt like coming to meditation tonight. I just finished work, I was tired. I just too much to get in the car and go to the meditation group. They said, my children sent me. They said, Mummy, you must go to meditation. Oh, I don't feel like it, I'm tired. Mummy, you must go to meditation. When you don't go to meditation, you're so grumpy. But when you go to meditation, you're such a nice mummy. Go! So the children actually saw that Mummy or Daddy, they benefited from the meditation by becoming calmer and cooler. People with less spikes. Other people will see that. Even other people who you pass on the road, who are just walking out, they feel that. They feel that you're a peaceful person. Many years ago when we had a problem at our monastery with big heavy clay trucks, we went to go and see one of our local members, who's now the Minister for Planning, Alana Martina. People in Perth will know her, she's a prominent politician. I remember after sort of discussing the problem with her, and it was the last meeting of the day, so she took us to the door, and at her door she was talking with us and said, "You're so lovely." I remember her saying, "It's so lovely to have peaceful people in my office." You can imagine, sort of like a politician, who was always on the edge, always, very often, dealing with angry people. He said, you know, even though we had a cause, we had a complaint, he said, "Is it so wonderful to have peaceful people in my office? Please come back." They can see what happens when you have kindness and softness. You're giving something in the world, whether you like it or not. So this is the inherent compassion, what you share in the world. Kind people, whether they like it or not, give kindness. People, give the gift of peace. Soft people, give softness. And that softness, that peace, that kindness, it rubs off. It trails behind your wake. Just, well, that is a good simile. I was going to say like the slime behind it. No. Just like the petals behind a bouquet of flowers when taken through and it blows off in the wind. Just like the scent just goes in all directions. So as you, your beautiful flower, just goes through through your journey back home. A beautiful scent of your purity just wafts all over the place. You find that people like you, feel like you're around someone who's peaceful. So that's the natural. So when we say we're going to spread loving kindness, or we're going to share merits, or we can, you do that anyway. It happens. It's a natural result. Again, all this natural result is you don't have to do anything, it just happens. You can't help it, it does, it works. So the fact you've got a pure and peaceful mind means that that is your gift. You share that with other people automatically, whether you like it or not, whether you intend it or you don't intend it, it just happens. If you make yourself a very pure being, that is your gift to the world. However, the people like actually to build up that kindness and that goodness and share the merits specifically. And that's again a wonderful thing to do. So sometimes we do a loving kindness meditation. You know you've been doing loving kindness meditation all week. And now we've been doing loving kindness, we've been doing some of the meditation. I think you remember I began this meditation retreat, one of the first talks, by saying there's no difference between samatha meditation, calm meditation, and vipassana insight meditation. They're all the same. And now I'm going to say there's no difference between samatha meditation or vipassana meditation and loving kindness meditation. They're exactly the same. Because when you go up that mountain, you don't just see the peace, you don't just see the view, you also see the love, the kindness. So on the top of the mountain, all the travelers come together in the peak. They may be separated on the various parts of the mountain, but they all come together in one place, in the middle and the top. And you understand this because when the mind gets peaceful, when it gets wise, it gets very caring and loving. It's natural. And it's also possible as well. If you haven't got peace, you can't really be kind. If you haven't got wisdom, your kindness goes in the wrong directions. When you have all those things, peace, wisdom, kindness just flows. Just like a fountain coming out from the ground. So, you have kindness. And sometimes we like to encourage it by developing it further, specifically focusing on beings. And one of the reasons why I leave loving kindness meditation to the very end. Because it's at the end when you find it's most powerful. At the beginning, sometimes the mind is too scattered. Sometimes the loving kindness meditation involves too much thought at the beginning. And sometimes if you start thinking about one thing, you end up thinking about something else. Even the thought is not really directed. It is scattered. It just blows any which way according to the swirling winds of the mental defilements. So now that we've calmed those winds down, and so the loving kindness can actually go softly, spreading out in all directions, without getting blown off course by an untrained mind. We do loving kindness. We spread it, we give it out. But we can only really do that with a very powerful mind. I know that from my own experience, sometimes we used to do the chants of loving kindness. At the end of the chant, we used to do a Bodhinyana Monastery. I remember this occasion when Ajahn Jaco was the abbot and I was number two monk, we started doing this chanting, and sometimes I got stuck. Sometimes it'd be like, may all beings be happy and well. When I said those words, I did that with my mind. I had a lovely meditation. And the mind was powerful. May all beings be happy and well. And I couldn't go on to the next life. Because I was just giving loving kindness. I hadn't finished yet. You know, we say, may all beings be happy and well. May they all be... Slow down! I haven't reached the well yet. I haven't finished that yet. You can't go on to the next one because I'm finished. All the other monks were chanting a lot and I was still spreading loving kindness to all beings. This is actually what happens, and the mind gets powerful, it can do those things, it knows what those words mean. You have that energy rise up inside of you. It's the energy of peace, it's the Dharma energy which I was talking about a few minutes ago. That Dharma energy wells up, you've got power. And now you're just spending it specifically for the happiness and well-being of others. It wells up and wells up and becomes this wonderful power inside. It is a force. And because of the mind is now trained, you can actually focus it. You literally zap people or things with metta. I say you zap them because that's probably the best metaphor. You are a superhero. You are a sort of being. You can do these amazing things. But as a superhero, it's like in the comics. Not Spider-Man, but Meta-Man and Meta-Woman. You can now bring out that wonderful power. And that you can focus on something. And you know it just really, really works. I remember on one other occasion I was doing this. I used to go and teach in the prison in a town called Bunbury. It was about 150 miles south of here. And I had to go down in the train in the morning. I had some packed lunch on the train. The session was in the evening. That's the only time the prison would allow me in. So I always had a free afternoon. And most of those afternoons I usually went down to the beach, which was close by. It was a very, very long beach. There's many quiet places on that beach. So I went down there, I just sat meditation on the beach in the afternoon. Hardly anyone was around. But I did notice, I decided that day to do a loving kindness meditation. And I did notice that there was this boy and girl were walking past as I started. And I closed my eyes and all beings be happy and well. I paused and got the energy out of loving kindness, started spreading around. I don't know how long I was sitting there for. But when I opened my eyes and turned around, that boy and girl were in the most passionate embrace, only about 5 meters from me. Loving kindness is powerful. It was really strange because usually they'd walk away from you when you're doing things like that. If you're a monk, and sometimes people know that they're a monk, if you can have a passionate embrace, you know, you'd be trying to get some quiet place. But I don't know where it was. It's only just a few meters. Maybe like where Rodney is over there. That's as far away they were. And they must have been, you know, they passed me before I started my meditation. So I've been going for a long time already. That's what loving kindness does. So it makes people feel, oh, this is so good. But that may be a bit far, because I know Ajahn Chah used to tell us about, this was his advice when before we went off to the west, he said, monks, be careful with metta meditation. Because this is his favorite, one of his favorite lines. Ajahn Chah was a joker. But it's very true sometimes what he said. He said, monks, if you practice too much metta, you'll end up having babies. But we did practice loving kindness with a pure heart, same to other beings, and they feel it. There's so many occasions when you can do that and people really, really soften up. And it's beautiful to see just how you can take a being who's suffering in pain, disturbed, but sometimes almost crazy. With the power of the Dharma, you can literally zap them. They feel it and their heart just sort of goes down, softens and opens out. Sometimes they don't know what's going on. You zap them with peace, with loving kindness, with freedom. freedom from anger, freedom from despair, freedom from the pain of just being so confused and so mentally in suffering. We soften them and feed them. It's a wonderful gift to be able to do that. Now you're going to train yourself to do this. We'll do a little loving kindness meditation. Don't start yet. We can do it in a few minutes. We do this loving kindness meditation to build up the power of metta. And I love doing this as an experiment too. At the end, sometime in the middle, or sometime in the middle of this meditation, I'm going to tell you to choose somebody. Choose somebody you're going to meet maybe later on this evening. But when you get back home, choose them. And notice the time, actually. You don't even notice the time, actually. When I do this, I'll look at my clock and I'll see what the time is. And when you get back home, or back to Singapore, back to LA, whatever, just ask them, well, if you ring them up tonight, at 3 o'clock or whatever, what are you doing? 3 o'clock, Thursday. And it worked so well. They'll say, strange did you say that. I was actually thinking of you. Well, somebody was cool, I started talking about you, had a discussion about you. You find it does actually work, they feel really good. And sometimes they may say, I just had such a difficult day. But actually, at that time, sort of things started going well. Whatever it is, it works. It's a wonderful gift you can give to others. At the end of the loving kindness meditation, you turn that power around and give it to you. So it's the same as you can uplift others. You tend to uplift yourself as well. You give yourself this beautiful smile. You draw in all of your spikes. And most of those spikes are defend yourself against yourself. You draw them all in. Allow yourself to be. Me, the door of my heart, is fully open to me. Come in. You become one with yourself. Completely at peace with you as you are. You don't need to get enlightened. You don't need to get down. You don't need anything. You accept yourself as you are. Otherwise known as letting go. But we've been talking about all week, but now you're coming to that from a different angle. The angle of kindness and compassion. And it's a great way of finishing off retreat to build up the energy to give to others, to give to yourself, and see there's no difference between the two. So, we're going to finish with a loving kindness meditation. If you're sore, please just stretch your legs. Get yourself nice and comfortable. Meditation, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. I'm going to go a little bit over time. I'll leave with that loving kindness meditation. Okay. When you have to do lots of loving kindness, people just can't get angry at you. So when I'm into this loving kindness business, you can take as many photographs, you can put it right in front of my nose, put it up my nose if you want. There's just no way in the world I can get angry. You're really soft and nice, that's really good fun. So I'll be leading this loving kindness meditation. For those of you who experienced one of my loving kindness meditations before, you know how I start. We usually start by arousing an object which is so easy to have loving kindness towards. That's why as you choose, for me it's a little kitten. I've got my imaginary kitten which I can carry around in my mind at any time. Some people like puppies or babies or this one lady in Sydney once, she said, I hate babies. I can't stand dogs. Struggling cats. But she was a real hard case, but we managed to get a breakthrough. Because actually she lived by herself, for obvious reasons. But she liked, she had plants, she grown plants, in the little flower box. Okay, do that. So she developed that loving kindness, whatever plants she was growing.
just flooded all
plants. You've got to claim out of them. This old soft little tangle just growing, just so weak, needed care, needed water. And she was talking to those little plants. It worked. You've got the study kinds coming out. Unless you can transfer it to babies and pets afterwards. But she found something nice and easy. What I usually say, like loving kindness when you start off, it's like a fire, but you've got to start fire with kindling, or with paper, something which takes the flame very easily. And if you put a match to a piece of wood, it doesn't light. But if it's like paper, it lights straight away. So you use an easy object. Once you've got the paper fire, then you put on the twigs. Once the twigs are light, then the bigger branches. Once you've got the bigger branches, then you know the wood which you spit up. When the wood is burning, then you put on the big logs, even the sappy logs. Because there's enough heat in the fire to dry up all that moisture, and the sappy logs take the fire. In that simile, you can see we go progressively through the easy objects first of all. Then we get to the wet sappy logs at the very end, which is your enemy. And then last of all, public enemy number one. You. That's the last sappy log you put on. You give loving kindness to yourself, because then it's very easy to do. You spade both of them with kindness and love. When they feel kindness and love, they just can't get angry at anybody. So, well, you just do it to both of them. You don't do it to the space in between them. That's, you don't bother about that. You purify both people's hearts at the same time. Give them the energy of kindness and warmth. And then they'll reduce, both of them will reduce their spites. Until they have no spites left, and the two enemies will be friends. So you just stay in their hearts with the power of Dhamma. Feed them peace, love. And then feel that sometimes you see your enemy. I can't get angry at you. And they leave in that. You give them. Because obviously, then, whatever's happened, they've lost their respect, their peace towards each other. They can't sort of fix a problem. So just like you give them this metatherapy. It's chemotherapy, radio, patient therapy, this is metatherapy. Give them a big blast, and that will heal their cancer of ill will. Okay, let's get going. So I'm going to sit down, whatever you're doing, and then we're going to begin by just practicing meditation on whether the breath or something. Just calm the mind down for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, I'll interrupt by leading you in loving kindness.
How do you feel now? What's it like inside? Whatever it feels like, imagine it opening up, calming down. So you're not trying, you're not striving. You're just being at peace with this moment. So knowing this moment as clearly as you can, and not fighting. And in the peace of this moment, you're going to start loving kindness. By using an object like a piece of paper, which takes the flame very easily. Try and visualize a puppy or a kitten or a baby or something which you find very easy to arouse feelings of care and kindness towards. I'm going to use my little kitten. You can actually change the word kitten to puppy or child or something. But as I lead this, you can follow in a similar vein. Now imagine my little kitten. I imagine one who's been abandoned. A little kitten which has no home. A kitten which is afraid, hungry, and cold. I've met such beings whose even few days of experience have been so dreadful, so painful. They don't dare trust anybody. You find this little abandoned, frightened little being. In order to bring it towards you, you have to arouse tremendous feelings of kindness to melt the little kitten's fear, to give it hope, to relieve its pain, to try and get eye contact with that imaginary being. From the eyes of your mind, looking into the eyes of that imaginary being. In the eyes you can see the pain, you can see the fear, you can see the desperation. With your kindness, you ease that pain, dispel that fear, replacing it with trust, with hope. Little kitten, the door of my heart is open to you. I will never harm you. My joy is to serve you, to help you, to ease your pain. I truly care. Imagining in your mind's eye that being in front of you as if it was real. To see its disheveled fur, its thin body, with the bones jutting out prominently on its underbelly. Without you, it will die. It will die a horrible, lonely, cold death. Very gently, you reach out your hands towards that lonely being. Through loving kindness, that little kitten lets you. It lets you touch its dirty body. You feel its bones under its fur. You stroke it so gently. It's a gift of your kindness. It's a gift of your love. Thinking all the time, little kitten, don't be afraid. I care for you. I wish you only happiness and well-being. It is my privilege to take away your pain, your hunger, and your loneliness. You can see the little kitten's body loosen up as it lets you touch it. So it lets you so gently pick it up and bring it close to your body. So that the warmth of your heart can warm the lonely kitten. Always keeping eye contact. Little vulnerable being. So open to pain and neglect. I will protect and care for you. Your well-being and your health is my concern. I care, I love, the door of my heart is open to you, little friend. As you bring that being close to your chest, you warm it with your warmth, you stroke it with kindness, and you see the fear of that little being dissolve into comfort. As even that being was so afraid, was hissing a few moments before, is now purring. Dear little kitten, I will always care for you. When you're grown up, I will always feed you, look after you, spend my time with you. You're important to me. You're my friend. I sincerely wish you well. Little kitten, may you be happy and well. As you make up the conversation with this imaginary being, and see the imaginary being glow with your kindness, to see their fear dissipate, their loneliness dissolve, as they become one with you. As you are practicing this way, you now pause and look inside your own heart. See what it feels like to have given kindness and love to that imaginary being. You find you have kindled a spark inside of you, a warmth, a glow, which is what we mean by metta. If that glow is strong enough, if the fire has lit the paper, you can try some twigs next. Now you switch the image in the mind. You look after that kitten later. She'll be fine. Switch it to a real person in your life. A friend or a lover. A relation. Or whatever. A real person who exists. Think of them now, wherever they may be. Picture their face, their hair, their eyes. That being who's so close to you, who you care about, say to them, in this moment, the energy of my life goes to you. With all my being, with all my energy, I wish you well. May any pain in your heart be softened and disappear because of my kindness to you. May my love send your fear away to the corners of the universe never to come back. May my heart warm your heart. May my life make you smile. Being who's so close to me in this life, I sincerely wish you well. I give the energy of my practice here, the joy in my heart, I give as a gift to you. Keeping the image of that person right in front of you, and just giving completely of your kindness, of your peace, of your joy, because their happiness is so important. Same for that person. The door of my heart was always open to you. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, I'll never close my life. I'll never separate my life from you. But you give unconditional, 100% full loving kindness towards that being. Just pause and look in your heart now and see that feeling, that fire of metta growing ever stronger. The more you pour out, the stronger that force grows inside of you. You pour out your whole being, your whole energy. Selflessly you give kindness, the wish for well-being to your best friend in this world. Now those words, may you be happy, may you grow, really have power behind me. Build up that power as much as you can. The will, the wish for that being to be at peace. If there's any pain in your heart right now, I will zap it away with my kindness. Any fear, any loneliness, remember I'm here. Here for you. So I send this energy off across the mind. Just bathe it with the power of your metta. As you're visualizing them, imagine them smile. Imagine them smile, their eyes brighten as they receive your gift of love. The psychic power of focused, concentrated, loving kindness. The energy of your being given for them. All you wish is for them to be happy and well. In the same way you chose that kitten, that little puppy or baby or whatever. That person without you would be lonely, would be afraid, would be in pain. A kitten needs that love for it to grow. Your friend, your partner also needs your companionship, your kindness. My kindness, my companionship is for you. Imagine their smile get even wider as they respond to your loving kindness with their loving kindness. Your fire lights theirs. Two beings at peace with each other. How does that feel inside of you? In your heart? Sometimes, even now, you can get this golden limiter coming up. Golden light that glow inside of you, building up its power. A mental image of metta. Now without opening your eyes, let go of that person so close to you. Without opening your eyes, imagine all the people in this room. Your fellow meditators who walked this journey over the last 9 days as your companions. They too have the sore knees. Have the mind which sometimes is like crazy stuff. Sometimes frustrated. Sometimes tired. As you were, so were they. They were, so were you. Without opening your eyes, spread your loving kindness, your goodwill to all beings in this room. We call our Kalyana Mitta, our noble friends. Dear beings, the door of my heart is open to each one of you. I really give you my best wishes, my kindness, my energy, my Dhamma, my life. As you give this power, to every being in this room. May your pain be eased. May your disappointment vanish. May you be at peace. May you feel the power of loving kindness letting go. As you open your heart to all beings in this room, and those beings open their heart with you, their fire joins your fire. The magic starts to glow. You feel that glow, the fire building up. As you give goodwill, unconditional loving kindness to all people and beings in this room. Now that glow is very, very strong. Strong enough to pass through the walls of this meditation room, which goes to the monks in the monastery next door, which goes to the birds in the garden, the animals, the insects on the ground. Every being in this Vedantris monastery, just not people, just invisible beings as well. I sincerely wish you well. May you be happy, may you be at peace. May you feel freedom from fear, freedom from disease. May you feel the ease which I feel. May my happiness be your happiness. As you give this warmth, this kindness, this power, you spread this light throughout this whole compound. Healing, pacifying, freeing all the beings here with the power of your kindness, of your metta, of your friendship. This light is now very powerful. Feel it in the heart again, and I send it beyond to this great city of Perth, with its traffic buzzing backwards and forwards, with its people at home and in hospitals, at work, even on a Sunday. All beings in Perth, I spread my golden light to you. May you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace. To all those beings having an argument right now, sometimes the desperate arguments of a husband and wife, parents, children, be still, be peaceful. May my power lessen your anger. May my loving kindness encourage you to forgive and let go. May my power of kindness bring together enemies who are separated, people who are afraid to say they care about each other. I give you my kindness. I give you the power of my love. All people here in this city, in this moment, may you smile. May you feel the happiness I feel. May you taste the peace which I taste. I give you the power of Dhamma. Spread over the city, calming, pacifying, relieving the pains. In the hospital beds, may the power of my practice ease your sickness. Take away your pain, to heal the disease. My energy can do that. I give it to you freely, 100%, healing the pain of the sick. The more I give, the more power I have. In my heart I feel this power building up. Spread it even further than Perth. Spread it to Malaysia, Singapore, to Sydney, to Melbourne, to Adelaide, spread this more and more. Every city it passes over, all beings in those great cities, humans, animals, invisible beings, may you be at peace. May you be happy. May your despair and pain be eased, if only for this moment. When you smile at someone, they always smile back. You smile at all the beings in these cities, and they feel their happiness. They have a moment of peace, spreading that golden glow over the whole world, to places of warmth, places of unending tears, the loss of future, the loss of hope. In this moment I give you a future, I give you hope. There are people you don't know about who care for you, who are saying right now, the door of our hearts are open to you. May the power of my mind bring some peace, bring some forgiveness, bring some healing in your communities. I give you, the whole world, my loving kindness. You spread this golden glow like a blanket over the world, like a warm balm, like a cooling breeze. Giving it unconditionally to all beings, wishing them well, healing their pain, drying their tears. Spread the golden glow throughout the universe, beyond this planet. There's no part of the cosmos untouched by the power of metta. How does that feel inside? As one being we've forgotten, ourselves, take that amazing glow, power of loving kindness, and surround yourself with that energy. Me, the person who's sitting on my cushion or chair, the one I've been with for the last 9 days, I wish me well. I care about me. Whatever faults, silly things, doesn't matter. Me, I open the door of my heart to you. Completely, no fault finding, no conditions. Come in. Do you imagine that part of yourself that you never liked, which you thought was wrong, which you rejected? Imagine that part of you walking in to the door which is now wide open in your chest. Walking in to be bathed in this powerful light of metta. So now there's no part of you which you reject. There's no part of your life, your actions, your deeds. No part of you which isn't one with loving kindness. There's no failure. There's nothing you've done wrong. Everything, completely, is fully forgiven, fully accepted. Just like a mother loves her only child, loving kindness loves you, complete and fully. This is power of metta, pains you so much. There's nothing missing anymore. Nothing to do. In this moment, you are fulfilled. Filled full with perfect peace. It's metta. Just allow that golden power of love to linger inside you for a while. Sitting somewhere in the middle of you. That lotus which I said was a metaphor for you is now wide open. You see the power and the depth in the middle of you. That golden ball of light and metta. Imagine it sitting on top of the lotus, which is you. A golden ball on a beautiful white lotus. Very slowly, imagine the petals of the lotus closing up to hold that loving kindness so softly. Only something as pure and as delicate as the lotus petal can hold that power. Imagine that lotus closing up in your heart. Holding the ball, the power of metta, of loving kindness, right in your center, to be there for you whenever you need. How do you feel? Stay with that feeling while I give you the blessing. Another way that's giving you the energy of peace. Long life, the beauty of your life and your physical strength. May you all be happy in life. Before we finish, now we're going to do the sharing of the merits. This is especially for those people who are no longer in this life, beings who have passed away, who meant so much to you. Parents, grandparents, uncles, even children. Think of them now. My life is for you, as your life was once for me. As you think, this energy, this power, we call your merits, your accumulated goodness. And now I'm going to share that with you. It's my gift. My gift for you. Dear relation is no longer here. For those of you who know this chant, you can chant it along with me. Idam me nyatinam. Idam me nyatinam kutu sukhita hontu yatayo. Idam me nyatinam kutu sukhita hontu yatayo. Idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu yatayo. Which means this merit of mine I give to my relations, my departed relations. May my departed relations receive this gift of happiness. Silence. With that, open your eyes. As we finish the retreat. So, may you go peacefully in your life. One retreat ends, another one starts. There's always another one coming next, just like a bus. When one journey finishes, another one starts. So may you be all happy and well. You don't look like a gift coming here. This music box. Okay. And we've got to keep whatever there. I know especially some of the people from the Asian traditions, I know they asked me earlier, if you did want to give any donation to the monastery, one room over here is the Anagarika, so you can always give it to him, you're happy. Any non-monetary gift you can always give. Yeah.
I've been asked to offer this in gratitude and due respect.
Is that all? I'm sorry, I'm naughty. Very good. Yeah. What is it? The gift of the accumulated jars of everybody. Very good. Okay. That's very happy. It's not the gift, it's actually the... You could actually come to my bed. Yeah.
Retreat
centre. Oh yeah, if anyone's interested,
yeah.
Because I put the plans of the retreat centre just in the room next door of this, you can just have a look at it. They're on the table over there. That's the only plan so far, they're just the first plans, it can always be changed. Give some idea. If maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, five, who knows how long. Maybe in not so long, we'll be going to retreat just in Serpentine. Where there is no noisy water, where there is no mosquitoes, where it is so peaceful. Coming soon. Okay, is there any announcements for the managers? Time. Oh, it was actually 5 to 3 when we did that chat. So, there was... You did the zapping to your closest relation, or your closest person. 14:55? I open my eyes up to the clock then. So 5 minutes to 3, Perth time. Same time in Singapore, that's 5 minutes. Yeah, exactly the same time. 5 minutes to 3 on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know what time that is in LA. In Adelaide, it's what, 5 to 4 or something? 5 to 5 or whatever, I don't know. You can work it out anyway. 14:55 was the time. Okay, it's also, I think, a vote of gratitude for all the cooks, all the people that you brought through. Amazing. Sadhu. So it's amazing food. I know that last time I made this joke at Nolamara because I think this is one of the first retreats where we didn't have a packed full house. And I thought, hey, why is that? Because what's the difference in this retreat? And I thought, I know what the difference is. It's the same teacher. The reason we didn't have a packed house because it was a different cook. I think this is going to be the cooks. But I think the reputation is going to grow of the cooks on this retreat. So I think the next retreat, you're going to have to camp out a week before to get on the next retreat. So it's very wonderful for you. And also for the organizer, the manager of this retreat, which was Chris. Okay, before you come on. I'd love to do the same again for the cook. If you want to share, I'd love to actually invent this pattern for the cook. Okay, go on.
For Ajahn, Dana,
and the great examples. It's so peaceful and so still. What great inspirations. Okay, back. And now the Sangha can clap all of you who've been great inspirations. I've been watching you all this time, so this is for you. Anyone else? Okay, any announcements?